I'm usually not one to start with a joke, but this one always makes me chuckle a little, even though it's a real like rabbi dad joke. Why do we read parts of the Megillah in the trope of Eicha? Anyone know? So this way, even the Misnagdim can have a little bit of fun. That there are two groups throughout history. There have been the Hasidim who loved Torah and loved life and had passion and joy and excitement. And there was the Misnagdim who did everything to fight against the Hasidim. And they were serious people and they didn't like fun. They didn't like laughter. So the joke is that why do we read part of the Megillah in the trope of Eicha so that even the Misnagdim can have a little bit of fun?
Yeah.
Gets a good chuckle. It's a good old dad rabbi joke. But it's a real question, which is there a connection between Eicha or between the Beis HaMikdash or between the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? But for today's purpose, we're going to focus on the Beis HaMikdash and the story of Purim. Now, that seems like a little bit of a random question. Why would I be asking you if there is a connection between the Beis HaMikdash and Purim? Couldn't I have chosen any two random things and said, is there a connection between the Gemara and Sukkot? Why am I asking you if there's a connection between the Beis HaMikdash and Purim? And I think that there are a number of reasons that point us towards asking this question. The first of which is this week's parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. Last week was Parshas Terumah. We are going to go on to Kitisa next week and then Vayakel and Pekudei, which means that we are knee deep in the construction of the Mishkan that we have been receiving. Last week, we received the rules of the Kelim. This week, we received the rules of the Big Day Kahuna. In Vayakel and Pekudei, we will read about the actual construction. We are surrounded by the ideas of the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the Mishkan, which ultimately is the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that coming up this Monday night, Emir Tashem, is going to be the holiday of Purim, which means that give or take a few weeks or so, we are typically immersed in the Parshios of the Mishkan when the holiday of Purim arrives. And in Judaism, we believe that we are always asking, what is the connection between things that come in conjunction with one another? And this is no exception. That if we are in the middle of the Parshios of building the Mishkan, and this is also when Purim always falls out, we are going to be drawn to ask the question of, is there a connection between the two? Is there a connection between the instructions and the rules and the mitzvot that we're reading about in the Torah and the holiday that we are going to be celebrating? So that is reason number one. Reason number two is that from very early on in the Megillah, there are direct allusions to the Galus, to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash itself. If we look in the Megillah, in source number one, I apologize, it is a long source sheet today, but I think we're going to learn a lot. So in source number one on the source sheet, Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan habira u'shmo Mordechai ben Ya'ir ben Shimi ben Kish ish Yemini. We are introduced to one of the saviors of the Megillah, and that is Mordechai. And we hear the entire lineage of Mordechai, that he is the son of Ya'ir, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish. He is from the Shevet of Binyamin. However, the pasuk continues on to give us a little bit more information about Mordechai. Asher hagla mi Yerushalayim, im hagola asher haglesa, im Yechaniah melech Yehuda, asher hagla Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel. It goes on to tell us that Mordechai was among those who was taken out of Yerushalayim in the gola that was taken out with Yechaniah melech Yehuda that Nebuchadnezzar took out to Babel. So we learn about Mordechai's lineage, but we also learn a little bit about his past, was that he was among those that left during the Galus, that he was among those that was exiled and brought to Babel. So now here he is in the kingdom of Paras Umadai, and he was taken out during the Geula by Nebuchadnezzar. In addition, as we referenced in the joke, not only are there direct allusions to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Galus, as we read in the previous pasuk, but a number of psukim are read in the trope of Megillat Eicha. In Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin, v'hashkol b'klei zahav, v'kelim mikelim shonim, anything that is bolded is read in the trope of Eicha. So when we read about the kelim, we use the trope of Eicha. In the following Perek, v'hamelach v'haman yashvu l'shtot v'ha'ir shushan navocha. After the decree is cast against the Jewish people are cast into mourning, and Haman and the Melech HaKashverosh, they sit down to wine and dine. And that pasuk we read in the trope of Eicha. Additionally, the following pasuk, Mordechai yada et asher na'asa v'yikra Mordechai epigada v'yobash sak v'yifer v'yitzi b'toch ha'ir v'yizak sak ha'gedola umara. Not only when the decree is cast against the Jewish people, but when Mordechai hears the news, this we also read in the trope of Eicha, that he tears his clothing and he settles down into mourning over the future of the Jewish people. In Parak Dalet as well, the whole Medina, Medina, Makom Asher Diber Hamelch Bedato Megia, Eval Gadol LaYehudim, Vitzom Uvechi Umispid, Sak Ve'ifer Yitzeler Adem. The Jewish people, the decree has spread throughout all of the lands, all from the lands of Paras Umadai. And the Jewish people hear, and they are set into a mourning. There is a great mourning for the Jewish people. Then even later on in Perek Dalid, v'kasher avaditi avaditi, when Esther is finally called into action by Mordechai, and Mordechai says, you need to step up for the Jewish people. Yes, you might be okay there in the palace, but we need your help. And Esther finally agrees. And then she says, I need everyone to daven for me. I need everyone to fast for me. I need everyone to do everything on my behalf. And I will go into the king, even though I have not been called, and I will appeal on behalf of my nation. And she ends off on a somber note, v'kasher avaditi avaditi. And if I am lost, I will be lost. So be it. I am working here for a greater purpose. And that too is read in the trope of Eicha. And lastly, the last pasuk that is read in the trope of Eicha, ki Eichecha uchal v'ra'iti b'ra'a asher yimatza et ami, v'Eichecha uchal v'ra'iti ba'avdan moladati. When Esther is speaking to Achashverosh, and she is describing the plot of Haman, how Haman is trying to destroy her nation, that as well is read in the trope of Eicha. However, to even further strengthen the connection, so far we have the fact that these parashiyot come in conjunction to the holiday of Purim. So we're drawn to say there is a connection between the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash and the story of Purim. So that is our first reason for wanting to explore this connection. Our next reason is that there are direct mentions in the Pasuk, for example, of Mordechai being among those who left during the Galus. The third explanation is that there are multiple pieces of the Megillah, as we see spread throughout almost all of the prakim, that are read in the trope of Eicha, again, an allusion to the Galus and the Beis HaMikdash. Another reason to strengthen this question is that there is parallel language between the language that is used by the Beis HaMikdash, by the building of the Mishkan, and language that is used here in the story of Purim. In this week's parsha, we have in Shemos Chav Chet Mem, V'libnei Aaron ta'aseh ketonet v'asita lahem avnei tim u'magbahu ta'aseh lahem l'chavod u'letifaret. And again in Shemos Chavchat Tevva, v'asita choshev mishpat ma'aseh choshev k'ma'aseh efod ta'aseh zahav u'tchilat u'argaman v'tolat chani v'shish mishzar ta'aseh uto. When it describes the materials that should be used for the big day kahuna, it's gold and it's silver and it's chilas, it's blue material of argaman and purple material. These should be beautiful clothing and they should serve for the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol l'chavur u'letifaret, for glory and for splendor. In Megillat Esther as well, in Perek Aleph Dalet through Vav, when describing the Mishnah of Achashverosh, beharot et osher kivod malchuso ve'et yikar tiferet gedulato. Achashverosh was out to display Yikar Tiferet Gedulato. The same word of Tiferet, of glory and splendor, is used here as a parallel, drawing us to connect the two stories. Additionally, the same materials are mentioned. Chor, Karpas, Utchelet, Achuz, Bechevle, Butz, V'Argaman, Alglile, Kesef, V'Amude, Shesh, Mitot, Zahav, V'Chesef, Alritzpat, V'Hat, Shesh, V'Dar, V'Socharas. The silver and the gold and the blue and the purple, the same materials, again, drawing us to connect the two stories. In Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin, V'haya v'shivto al kisei mamlechto. We talk in Parshas Devarim about the establishment of a Jewish kingdom, and we talk about when the king is sitting al kisei mamlechto, when he is sitting on his royal throne. And in Megillat Esther as well, we hear, although in a very different context, in a very different type of throne, we use the same language. Be'amim ha'im keshevet ha'melech Achashverosh al kisei malchuto. When Achashverosh is sitting on his royal throne, and we are able to contrast what a Jewish king is meant to act like versus what Achashverosh is acting like while he is sitting upon his throne. And lastly, but definitely not least, in Divrei Hayamim, this is the end of the period of the Nevi'im. We are talking about the years leading up to the destruction and ultimately that will lead the Jews to the exile, which ultimately leads to the Purim story. And we hear specifically, Ubishtat Shalosh L'malcho. And it was in the third year of his kingdom. And in Megillat Esther as well, this takes place, Bishnat Shalosh L'malcho. This is also the third year in his rulership. And lastly, if this wasn't enough proof that we should connect these two ideas of the Beis HaMikdash, the Galus, the building of the Mishkan, to the story of Purim, I have one last one, and that is direct mention within the Gemara of connections of using the items from the Beis HaMikdash in the story of Purim. So the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, Beharos is Osher Kivon Malchusa, when we read this pasuk that Ahasuerus is out to show the splendor of what he had. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Milamid Shlavash Big Day Kahuna. This tells us that Ahasuerus wore the Big Day Kahuna at his mishteh. K'tiv ha'chayakar Tiferes Gedula. So because it says in the pasuk there Tiferes Gedula. So k'tiv hasam lichvodu l'sifares. And it says when the Big Day Kahuna are being made, that they should be lichavodu l'sifares. So this use of the word tiferes is not just meant to jog our memories and have us connect the stories, but rather say the exact clothing that was created lichavodu l'sifares is being used here to show yikar tiferes gedula so. The splendor of Ahasuerus's kingdom. The Gemara continues on, v'hashkop ekli zahav v'kilim mikilim shonim. And it says that everybody was given to drink in golden kelim, in golden vessels, mikelim shonim. And it says it was diverse kelim, an assortment of kelim. However, it should say mishunim. It should say differently, grammatically, it should be written mishunim, not shonim, that it should be they were different from one another. What is this word shonim specifically used? Amarava. Yatzabakol va'amralahem. A divine voice came out and said to them, Rishonim kalu mipnei kelai. The original ones who stole these vessels were destroyed for using them. Va'atem shonim bahem, and you think that you can use them? You think that you can have the idea of shonim is that everybody got different. Everybody got whatever they wanted to drink. So he's saying, you think you can go about this process of drinking b'shonim, that you can each get the amount of wine that you want. The original people who stole these vessels, they were destroyed for it. So there is this connection that not only was Ahasuerus wearing the Big Day Kahuna, but they were using the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash. Lastly, the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Tes Vav Amud Bet, Vayomer la hamelech la Esther amalka ma bakashatich ad chatzi amalchut v'teyas. Ahasuerus, when Esther comes in to request salvation on behalf of her people, he does not yet know what she is there for. And he says, Esther, come in. Whatever you want, I will give you. I will give you ad chatzi hamalchus. I will give you up until half of my kingdom. Chatzi hamalchus, v'lo kol hamalchus. Let us be discerning on the words of Ahasuerus and recognize that he didn't say, Esther, I'll give you whatever you want. He said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. And he says, I will not give you something that will split my kingdom. I'll give you up to chatzi. I'll give you halfway. What was the halfway point of Ahasuerus's kingdom? Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash. And he says, I will give you up until there. I will not give you something, davar shemechotzit et malchusai. I will not give you something that will split my kingdom. Umay ninhu, and what is Ahasuerus thinking of? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He will not allow for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Why would this thought even occur to him? Prior to Ahasuerus's rulership under Koresh, the Hatzaras Koresh, the proclamation of Koresh, allowed some Jews to go back to Israel to begin the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which at this point had halted. And so therefore, when Esther came in to request something on behalf of the Jews, immediately he thought that there was the possibility that she was going to ask for the continuation of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, he says to her, you can have everything up to half of the kingdom, that and not more than that. So there is clearly a very strong connection between the idea of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the Galus, the destruction, that entire entity, and the story of Purim. And it comes up in so many ways. But what I want to do now is I want to explore a little bit closer that, as I said, there are many ways to connect many things. I can say, what is the connection between the example I gave before, the Gemara and Sukkos? And if I looked for long enough, I'm sure I would find connections. But what's important to us is meaningful connections. What can we draw out of this connection? Okay, great that we can draw parallels between two different things. But what is this going to teach us, either about the Beis HaMikdash, or about Purim, or about the two of them together? So for this, I want to look at three approaches. And the first approach between the connection of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, and the story of Purim is going to specifically focus on this week's Parsha and the creation of the Big Day Kahuna. So let's go back to the Gemara and Megillah. That the Gemara tells us that Achashverosh wore the Big Day Kahuna. The Gemara and Megillah and Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph Beharod at Osher Kevod Malchusa Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina Melamed Shalavash Big Day Kahuna. We learn that Achashverosh wore the Big Day Kahuna at his Mishta. K'tiv Hacha Yakar Tiferes Gula To K'tav Hatam Lichavodu Litiferes. The word Tiferes connects the two, that Achashverosh was wearing the Big Day Kahuna. Why? Why was Achashverosh doing that? Did he want to just be an obnoxious king, which I think I always thought of? Like, he just wanted to be obnoxious, like take everything that was meaningful to them and use it in such a crass way that he was going to walk around at his mishta wearing something that had been previously used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what I always thought, was that he was just a rude person. Like, he just decided to really like hit them where it hurt, that he was going to say like, oh, like you think you're so holy, I'm going to wear these clothing to do whatever I want. However, I believe based on the Gemara and Zvachim that there is a much deeper reason that Achashverosh wore the Big Day Kahuna. The Gemara in Zvachim on Peiches Amud Bet says, "Va'amar Rabbi, inyanei bar sason lama nismecha parshas karbanos leparshas Big Day Kahuna." So, in the beginning of this week's parsha, we are finishing off the discussion of certain karbanos that are going to be brought. And obviously we are going to have an extended discussion on many, many more karbanos, but a brief discussion on karbanos. And then we jump right into the Big Day Kahuna. Lomar lecha ma karbano mechaprin, af Big Day Kahuna mechaprin. So the Gemara is telling us that why are the Big Day Kahuna juxtaposed next to the instructions about the Karbanot? Because in the same way that Karbanot bring kapara, bring atonement, so too the Big Day Kahuna bring atonement. What does that mean? And the Gemara goes on to explain each clothing item and what the atonement is that it brings. Ketonet, so the dress sort of thing, the robe. Mechaperet al shvichat hadam. This is mechaper. This brings atonement for spilling blood. Shene emar mishchatu seirizim v'tavlua takatona patam mechasim u'mechaperet al badam. The ketonet, as in the ketonet pasim, this is what it's referencing, that when the brothers pretended that Yosef was killed, they slaughtered a sheep, they dunked the ketonet pasim in the blood, and they brought it to Yaakov. So here, the ketonet is going to be mechaperet al shvichat damim, that if there was murder or the spilling of blood, the ketonet would bring kapara for this. Mechnasayim mechaperet al gilai arayos. The pants bring atonement for gilai arayos, for illicit relationships. Shene emar, as it says in Shemos, v'asei lahem mechnasei ba, that you should make for them pants out of material. L'chasot basar erva, so that it should hide their private areas. Mitznefet mechaperet al gesei haruach. The mitznefet, which is the thing that goes on their head, on the like hat thing, mechaperet al gesei haruach. This is mechaper for any haughtiness. Minayin amar Chanina yavoda bar shebegavoha v'chaper al hagova. That something that is high up, so like a hat that's going to be on your head, should bring you kapara for your gova, for your raising yourself up. Avnit, which is the apron, mechaper al heror halev. This is going to bring hapara for inappropriate thoughts. Hecha de'ita choshen mechaper al hadinin. The choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, is going to bring hapara for the dinin, for the laws, shene emar. Va'asita choshen mishpat eifod mechaper al avodat kochavim. The eifod, which is also the apron, all these things are going on here. I'm confusing the exact names, but the ephod is the apron. The mitznefet, I think, is the thing that ties to the choshen, the thing that like holds it up. So the ephod mechapara al avodas kochavim. The ephod is going to bring us kapara for idol worship. The in shene emar in ephod v'trafim. Me'il the coat mechapara al ashen hara. Minayin amar av chanina yavoda var shebekol v'yechapara al kol hara. Something that is, so the me'il is the coat, and that's going to have the bells at the bottom. So it says it acted like the voice of the Kohen Gadol that people would know when he was coming because the bells would ring. So it's saying something that comes to act as a voice should be mechaper for the kol hara, for the when the voice was used in an evil way. Vitzit and the headband mechaper al azot panim. This should be mechaper for azot panim for stubbornness. Vitzit k'tiv hayal metach aron ba'azot panim. The metach asher zona hayalacha. So each item of the big day kahuna, and again, these confusions that I have are exactly why we need places like Machon HaMikdash or the books like the Mishkan book, because when we're just going through all the technicalities, it's very hard to keep straight what all of these things were, what the kelim, what the big day kahuna. So having it illustrated in a way that makes it much more visual makes these confusions happen much less. So if I had the Mishkan book in front of me, we would be very good. But the idea of the Gemara here in Zvachim is that the big day kahuna brought about kapara. That just like the karbanot were a form of achieving atonement from Hashem, so too the big day kahuna brought atonement from Hashem, and that's what they symbolize. So why was Achashverosh specifically using the big day kahuna? Achashverosh wanted to tell the Jewish people. He had insight into this idea. He knew that the big day kahuna were not just a uniform. They were not just something to keep a standardized look between the Kohanim. Rather, Achashverosh was familiar with the idea that the big day kahuna were an integral part of the Avodah. They brought about part of the atonement. And Achashverosh wanted to show the Jewish people, look, now I'm wearing the big day kahuna. They have lost this special nature. You have also lost your special nature. Look, I'm using something that was so integral to the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm wearing it at my party. So too, you have lost your special status. Hashem doesn't want you anymore. You might as well sin. You might as well settle in here at the party and just blend into us, become like the rest of us, because you're not special anymore either way. However, the Jewish people received dafka the message that Hashem wanted them to receive, not the message of Achashverosh. Throughout history, Hashem has said to us that Ima Anochi Batzara, I'm with you in the bad times as I am with you in the good. As Hashem promised to Yaakov, I go down with you to Galus. That Hashem mentions time and time again, Shuvu Eli, return to me. Vashuva Aleichem, and I will return to you. Hashem always says, I always want you back. And while Achashverosh put on the big day kahuna to say to the Jewish people, look, you've lost your status. Hashem doesn't want you. You might as well sin because Hashem doesn't care. Hashem was sending Bnei Israel another message that Hashem says, even if you sin at this party, even if you're against me at this time, I'm with you. You can always atone. So on a very specific level of connection, the idea of the big day kahuna being used was meant to send one message from Achashverosh of we want you to be like us. We want you to assimilate. We don't want you to be a separate nation. But rather, Bnei Israel were able to receive this message that ultimately is going to help them pull through in the story of Purim, which is that Hashem always wants us back. Even though we may have attended the party, when it comes down to it and they are against us, we know that we can turn and return to Hashem. Even if there is the Hester Panim, we see the Big Day Kahuna. We see that Hashem is showing us this lesson, that the Big Day Kahuna are Mechaprin, that the Big Day Kahuna appeared here in the lowest of low, the dirtiest of dirty places, to show us that we can always achieve that Kapara. We can always return to Hashem. So our first explanation is that the Big Day Kahuna were an integral message, that the message that they represented in the Beis HaMikdash was integral in the survival of Bnei Israel in the story of Purim. That when they saw Achashverosh wearing those big day kahuna, it flipped a switch in their minds of Hashem is always here with us, even if there's Hester Panim, even if we don't see Hashem right now, we know that big day kahuna are mechaprin, and they have appeared here in Shushan as well. So that is approach number one. Approach number two is also related to the Big Day Kahuna in this week's parsha. In Shemos Parak Chaf Chet, tells us again, this is a pasuk that we have read already, V'asita Big Day Kodesh La'aron Achicha L'chavod U'Lesifares, that you should make the Big Day Kahuna and they should serve L'chavod U'Lesifares. And the Balbin picks on, up here, what are these two words representing? Why do we need L'chavod U'Lesifares? What do the two of them mean and why do we need both of them? So the Malbim states, V'asita big day kodesh, you should make holy clothing. Hinei ha-begadim shetziva la'asot, hayakifi ha-galoi begadim chitzonim. According to what is apparent to us, Hashem is commanding that Moshe create physical clothing, that these are clothing that clothe the outside. Shisaper inyanam echasuotam ha-omnim b'malacha, that it is described how the artist should create them. Ava be'emet, rather, even though they are external clothing, they are physical items, they shed light on the begadim hapnimim, on the clothing that is on the inside. But rather, they shed light on the internal clothing. That this is the clothing for the neshama, that the Kohanim worked and they put in the effort to create these covers to their neshama of midos tovos, of deos, of positive thoughts, of tchunos tovos, of positive dispositions, v'mabushim ela loasu omnim. And these clothing, a artist cannot make, a craftsman cannot make. V'tziva Hashem al Moshe, shehu yaseh big day kodesh ela. And Hashem commanded Moshe that he should create this clothing. Hainu lalam dam tiku nafsho sehem, that Moshe should teach them Torah how to fix their neshama midos sehem beofen sheyol b'shu hod v'hadar et nafsham hapnimi. There is a two-part command going on here, that Moshe had to command for the construction of the physical clothing to clothe their externals, but at the same time, Moshe was commanded to teach them how to clothe their neshama in these positive things. The Pirish Vasita Big Day Kodesh Lechavod, Kiyetz Ba'eretz Leinu, B'kol Makom Shenefesh Adam Nekrit B'Shem Kavod B'Kitvei HaKodesh, Ta'aseh Big Day Kodesh, Shavam Yolbash HaKavod Shehi HaNefesh. V'kvar Be'arti B'Pirish B'Yishaya, Sheyish Hevdol Bein Kavod V'Vein Tiferes. So he's saying in any place where they are commanded in Kavod, it is talking about this internal Kavod. So then he says, I already described by Yeshaya, what is the difference between kavod and tiferes? Shechavod adam gam b'ma'ala tiv'it, aval lo yitba'er rak b'ma'ala b'chirit. That kavod can be natural and it can be internal. However, yitba'er tiferet has to be at a different level and it has to be at a level of choice. V'mitzad ha-ruchanit, sheyish l'nefesh b'teva mitzad mekor mechavtzita nekrit kavod. The natural inborn ability for kavod, for honor, is called kavod. V'mitzad ha'or v'ha'hadar shetiskel yedei avodasa v'kdushasa nekris tiferes. But the effort and the work that you put in, that creates tiferes. So we've met those people who come across as naturally important. That sometimes we'll see a woman walk into the room who is stately, who is elegant. And you say there's something inborn about her that has a certain kavod. That's natural. It's on the inside. However, tiferes is the work that you put in. It is the avoda to build on this kavod. And that reaches tiferes. So the Big Day Kahuna had this dual purpose. They were meant to learn Torah. They were meant to engage in tikkun hamidos in order to sharpen their internal kavod. However, they were also meant to wear the Big Day Kahuna on the externals, to put in the effort to create through their craftsmanship. They were meant to create this tiferes. They were meant to bring what was on the inside to the outside. They were meant to clothe themselves in a way that showed this external kavod. V'shtei madrigot ela yitzbol shuv b'big day kodesh she'aseh b'hem Moshe. Both of these levels were apparent within the clothing that Moshe created. Ritzon lomar she'yom midam v'yisayei otam b'zchuto l'hitlabish b'levusho yakar v'hadar. V'bazeh yaseh big day kodesh l'nefesh hanikris kavod v'l'nefesh hanikris tiferes. So by building or creating the Big Day Kahuna, they created clothing that achieved both of these goals of kavod, the natural kavod, and the teferis, where you have to put in work, the splendor that you have to create from the efforts of the Kohanim. So the glory refers to the gifts God gives man, while splendor and teferis refers to what we can achieve on our own. That the kavod is internal, it is a gift from Hashem, and the teferis is something that we achieve on our own. So now what does this have to do with Purim and the story of the Megillah? The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, so further down on the page of what we, the Megillah, the Gemara that we read about the Mishta of Achashverosh. Sha'alu Talmidav Shal Rabbi Shimon Ben Yocha. The students of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yocha came and asked him a question. Mipnei manit chayvu sonehem shal Yisrael shebeoto hador kaliya. Why were Bnei Yisrael guilty at this time that their oivim, that their sonim, that those who hated them should be able to make this decree against them? Amar lahem, he said to them, Amru lahem, Amru atem, he says, what do you think? Like, why do you think they were chayav of such a decree at this time? Amru lo, so they answered him, Mipnei shenahagu nehenu misi'udato shal oto rasha, like probably because they engaged in the mishtav Achashverosh. Ve'im kein shebishushan yahargu, shebechol ha'olam kulo al yahargu. But they say to their Rebbe, that doesn't make so much sense because, okay, then the people who are in Shushan should be punished. About what about the people outside of Shushan? There were so many nations here. Amru lo, emorata, so he says, you tell me. Amaratem, mipnei sheheshtachavu latzelem, because they bowed down to Haman and to the Avodah Zarah that he wore on him. Amrulo, v'chi mashoi panim yesh badavar, but they said to him, but if it's true that they worshipped Avodah Zarah, then they deserve to be destroyed. Amar lahem, heim lo asu ala lifnim, they only did this externally. Afa kadosh baruch hu lo asai mahem ala lifnim. So therefore, what Hashem did was also only external. V'hainu dechtiv, ki lo an inu milibo. Because he didn't afflict them willingly. What is this Gemara talking about? The answer of Rav Shimon ben Yocha is extremely insightful. Rav Shimon ben Yocha is saying, look at the story of Purim on two levels. There's what's happening internally, and there's what's happening externally. Externally, it looks like the Jewish people were sentenced to death because it looks like they worshipped Avodah Zarah. But internally, they didn't want to worship Avodah Zarah. And internally, they weren't truly destined for death. That there is what appears to us externally in the world. But we must always remember that that is a mask. That is a cover. What's truly going on is often hidden. And this is the message of Purim, that the message of Purim is that what's often truly happening is hidden. It's hidden from us when there is Hester Panim, when Hashem's face is hidden. And it's hidden from the world at times like Purim. But we must remember to remove that mask. So what is the connection here? The connection between the Big Day Kahuna and the story of Purim, the Beis HaMikdash and the story of Purim, is that the Big Day Kahuna teach us about these two levels to everything in the world. There's the internal and the external. And on Purim, we have to remember as well that there was the internal, what Hashem was working behind the scenes, and the external, what we were able to see in the world. So that is approach number two. The first approach is that the Big Day Kahuna connect the story of the Beis HaMikdash and the story of the story of Purim. That just like the Big Day Kahuna bring Kapara in the Beis HaMikdash, the message of that and remembering that in the story of Purim was what ultimately allowed us to move towards our salvation, to remember that Hashem was always there with us. The next approach connecting specifically the Big Day Kahuna, or more broadly, the idea of the Beis HaMikdash to the story of Purim, is that in the way that the Big Day Kahuna had the internal and the external aspects, that there was the internal clothing to the neshama and the external clothing that the Kohanim created, so too in the story of Purim, there were these two levels. There was the internal and there was the external. But both of these first two approaches give us a very specific connection between a specific element of the Big Day Kahuna and a specific element of the story of Purim. However, the third approach is one that is going to teach us about the entire nature of the Beis HaMikdash and how it connects to the nature of Purim. What is the essence, the importance of the Beis HaMikdash? In Shemuel's Parak Chaf Hei, last week's parsha, when Hashem commands us to build the Mishkan, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Bisocham, Hashem says, build me a Mikdash Vishachanti Bisocham, and I will dwell among them. The Rambam lists in Sefer HaMitzvos that this is one of the mitzvos. Mitzvos Asei Ki Hishatzivanu Livnos Es Beis HaBechira Avoda. We have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaBechira to serve Hashem. Bo Yehiya HaKrava V'Havaras HaIsh Tamid V'Alav Tiyah HaHalicha V'Aliyah LaRegel V'Hakibotz B'Chol Shana. And this would be the place of the ingathering of the Jewish people, that here they would have the consistent fire, here they would bring the karbanos, and here they would gather each year for the Aliyah LaRegel. V'hu amru yitalev asu li mikdash v'lashon sifri shalosh mitzvot nitzavu Yisrael b'i knisatam la'aretz Yisrael limnot lahem melech. The sifri expands, which is quoted by the Ramban, by the Rambam, that there are three mitzvot upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. The first is limnot lahem melech, to appoint for ourselves a king. Livnot lahem beis habechira, to build the beis habechira, the beis hamikdash, v'halchritz arov shal amalek, and to destroy the descendants of Amalek. Hine his ba'er shebinyan beis habechira mitzvah bifnei atzma. This tells us that the binyan of the beis hamikdash is a mitzvah in and of itself. V'kfar be'arnu shezeh haklal kolal minim rabim, Shehim haMenorah vaHashulchan vaHamizbeach vZuasam kulam michalkei haMikdash vaKol yikra Mikdash. This teaches us an important aspect, which is that the building of the menorah, the building of the mizbeach, the building of the shulchan are not mitzvos in and of themselves. They were mitzvos at the time when it was the process of building the Mishkan, but for the Rambam's count, which has very specific rules, which are mitzvos ledoros, mitzvos for generations, the overarching mitzvah that encompasses the entire building of the Mishkan is mitzvah livnos beis habechira. It's not specifically a mitzvah to build the shulchan and the mizbeach. It's all one mitzvah together of binyan beis hamikdash. V'kvar yiyachid hativoy b'chol chelek v'chelek. It encompasses all these different aspects. Amnam amru hamizbeach, mizbeach adamat ha'asali, v'chashiv bazeh shehi mitzvah v'pnei atzma chutz mimitzvah hamikdash. It is possible to look at each of the mitzvos to build the mizbeach and to build the menorah and to say it seems to be a mitzvah bifnei atma, but what the Rambam is saying here in his count is that it is one mitzvah of mitzvah livnos beis habechira. However, the commentaries try to pick up on, but what? Why are we building the beis hamikdash? And they all hearken back to this pasuk of the asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Why do we have this mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash? So the Alshech tells us, V'imkin, kivan sheha mishkan in hashrat hashchina bo mitzad atzmo, ki im ba'adam, kimo da'at amar, la'ayel v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, ki b'socho lo ne'emar. So the Alshech tells us, what is the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring Hashem to dwell among us. Not to dwell within it, but to dwell within us. As Hashem says, V'asuli mikdash, I want you to create a centralized space to worship me. And then I, through your avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, v'shachanti b'socham, I will dwell among you, not v'shachanti b'tochom. Not that this is going to be a place where Hashem lives, rather this is going to be a point of connection between us and Hashem that is going to facilitate the dwelling of Hashem's Shechina among all of us. Shehu hayahichal Hashem hu ha'adam u'mimenu yitpashit el ha'mishkan. That the dwelling place of Hashem's presence is in each and every person, and through this, Hashem would come into the Mishkan. V'imkin, emor me'ata, in ich b'shabat sha'adam hu hichal Hashem yaseh malacha, b'mishkan shehu atzma mitzad atzmo, im bo shechina, ela mima shenimshach bo min, lo min ha'adam, sha'al yedei hayot ha'adam hichal Hashem nimshach al ha'mishkan. So it explains here why a person cannot build the Mishkan on Shabbos, because Shabbos is about us dwelling with Hashem and the Mishkan is about us dwelling with Hashem. So it is only through us truly connecting to Hashem that the Shechina can even arrive in the Mishkan. So therefore, we have to focus on our connection with Hashem on Shabbos and cease from the Malach on the Mishkan. We cannot be doing both at the same time. So although there is a mitzvah to build the Mishkan, and we say that the Makom HaMishkan is going, and the Makom HaMikdash ultimately is going to be the place where Hashem is going to connect with Am Yisrael, But it is important to note, as repeated by many other Mefarshim in addition to the Al-Sheikh, is that the goal of the Beis HaMikdash is to allow us to create this relationship so that Hashem can dwell among us. So now to jump over to the Gemara in Maseches Tainis. Amar Rav Yehuda Barei Derav Shmuel Bar Shila, Mashmi Derav. Kishim Shemisha Nichnas Av Mimatim Bisimcha, Kach Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Bisimcha. The Gemara in Tainis says, just as in Av, during the time of the destruction of the temple, Mimatim Bisimcha, our happiness is minimized, Kach Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Bisimcha. When we arrive in Adar, in the month of Adar, our happiness should be increased. Seems to be that there is a direct inverse correlation. In Av, our happiness goes down, and in the same way that it goes down in Av, it should go up in Adar. Rashi explains, why should we have greater simcha in Adar? Mishanichnas Adar, yemei nisim hayu liYisrael, Purim v'Pesach. He says, because these are the days of miracles for Am Yisrael, these are the days of Purim and Pesach. But what I would like to suggest is that in the same way that the reason that our happiness is minimized in Av is because of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, in Adar, the reason we increase our simcha is because we are one step closer to the Beis HaMikdash, that as Rashi is referencing, this is the Yemei Nisim, these are the days of miracles, Purim v'Pesach. But what does the miracle of Purim, specifically in Adar, if we're talking about, what does the Simcha of Purim have to do with the Geula? So this I want to look at a halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch. There are a number of halacha that were created in order to help us to remember the Galus and to remember the destruction of the temple. Kein hitzkinu sheha'orech shulchan, there was a takana created that one who is laying out a feast for guests, they should always leave something out. They should leave out one place setting, or they should forget to put something on the table. They should set one place without a plate. So if every place setting is meant to have two plates, two forks, and a knife and a spoon, they should leave out one plate or one fork. Rav Yaakov Emdin, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, notes that even though typically we say when you are setting out a meal according to the Shulchan Aruch, you should leave something out, zecher lemikdash, that we should remember the destruction of the temple, the more we could see us, so Rav Yaakov Emdin on the Shulchan Aruch says, v'se'udah Shabbos v'yom tov nechtev l'mal lo miva'i desharei. You are not allowed to do this during a se'udah Shabbos v'yom tov. Because he said, it would be inappropriate on Shabbos or Yom Tov to show signs of mourning. That on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we are not allowed to mourn Bifar Hesya. You are not allowed to mourn publicly. And therefore, it would be inappropriate to do something publicly at the table, at a Shabbos or Yom Tov meal, that would remind us about the mourning for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yaakov Emdin continues on. And he adds, "Nichtav l'mal she'in sarich lehizayer b'seudas parim la'asot zecher la'avelos Yerushalayim." He says, and also, not only on Shabbos and Yom Tov do you not have to put a zecher l'mikdash while setting the table, but he says, on seudas parim, on the meal of parim, sarich lehizayer la'asot zecher la'avelos Yerushalayim. No need to remember the avelos of Yerushalayim on parim. Why not? It does not have the same din of Shabbos or Yom Tov that we're not allowed to mourn. What is going on here? Why does he specifically say there is no need to remember Chorban Yerushalayim on Purim? So in the Yosef Lekach, which is the student of the Gra, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who wrote down the Gra's commentary on Megillas Esther, he explains why Mordechai created the mitzvah to drink on Purim. Ra'ul kacha Mordechai v'beis dino gazru la'asot simchas yom tov v'beheyo she'ne'emar im lo ha'alais Yerushalayim al rosh simchati ratzu she'yishtu v'yishtachu risham v'geulatam v'shelo yisgeru chorban habayis. Fascinating. It says Mordechai v'beis dino created a day of simcha v'yom tov As it says, Imlo alal Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. But they thought, you're meant to remember Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. When they created this day of simcha and Yom Tov, they remember this idea that we're supposed to remember Yerushalayim at our times of greatest simcha. However, Ratzu sheyishtu v'yishkechu reisham v'galutam. They wanted them to drink enough that they would forget that they're in Galus. V'shalo yiskeru churban habayis. He wanted them to become so drunk that they would forget the churban habayis. Acharei ro'otam hayar hagdola v'hashkacha v'hamufleget v'makom aleihem. Im heyot shenistil kashchina v'kimokin kavu ledorot b'shtiyah mufleget ad sheyishtachlu legalutam. Mordechai thought, these are the people that left Eretz Yisrael. These were the people who were taken out into Galus. He says, they have now seen a salvation by Hashem. I need them to have a break. I need them to be able to forget Korban Yerushalayim in order to celebrate the present salvation. Because he said, if they are not able to forget about the Korban, they're never going to be able to celebrate right now. Because even though they have been saved in this moment, they are still going to feel so alone. They are going to feel shenistal kuashlina, that Hashem's still not with them. How can a people like this ever be happy? They feel so abandoned. So what Mordechai says is, he says, we need to get them to drink enough that they're going to forget the Korban Yerushalayim so that they can finally be happy for once. Valkoza Lora to Lomar, but they didn't really want to say that because that sounds terrible. Imagine we went around singing Ad Lo Yada Shachariv Yerushalayim. That really has a bad ring to it. Bahadeshi Ishtu Achi Shachu Yerushalayim Avalamru Ad Lo Yada bin Arham Am Lebarach Mordechai. So rather, they said, you shouldn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Lebarach Mordechai. Shehim HaHepach Aval Kol Kal V'chomer Sheishkach Reisha V'galuhu V'lo Yiskar Chorban Habayit V'rosh Simchata Zot V'ta'amu Acharei Hodiya Hashem Otanu Shebeheyu Tanu Be'eretz Oyvinu Lo Azavnu Yu Lanu L'smach Simcha Shlema Shelo Yiyah Bazikaron Da'aga Klal. Rather, Mordechai gives us a fascinating insight. He said originally, we have to get them to drink enough that they could forget Korban Yerushalayim so that they can forget that Hashem isn't with them. Rather, Mordechai says, but Hashem is with them. So he says, I'm going to have them drink enough that they should forget. They shouldn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. They should no longer be focused on the enemy. They should no longer be focused just specifically on what's happening here. They shouldn't be focusing on Galus and Geula at all. Rather, what we need them to do is we need them to drink enough that they can forget about all their worries and focus on what's really here, which is that Hashem is really with them. They shouldn't be thinking about Korban Yerushalayim. They shouldn't be thinking about Haman. Rather, they should just be focusing on the fact that Hashem is still with them. And with that, they can hopefully feel happiness, even just on this day, that if they remember that, what does this mean that Hashem saved them here? Is that Hashem is still with them. That they can't be focusing on what they don't have. They can't be focusing on Korban Yerushalayim, the fact that we are still in Galus. What they must focus on is Bein Arur Haman Lebarach Mordechai. That they should be focusing on that good one out here. They should be focusing on that Hashem is still with them, even if they're not focusing right now on Korban Yerushalayim, that Hashem is still with them, that it is not about V'shachanti B'socho, that Hashem has to dwell in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, they should be focusing on V'shachanti B'tocham, that Hashem is still dwelling among them. So if they need to drink to drown out all of the outside ideas about where they are and where they're not, they need to just focus on what they do have, which is that they might still be in Galus, but Hashem is still with them, and that is what is important. In the Sefer Megillah Sitarim, for this reason, they made a Yom Tov, they made a holiday, that according to their understanding, that because they saw Mechiyat Amalek, because they saw the destruction of Amalek, v'chashvu shehu itzchalta d'geula. Why did they create the holiday of Purim? Because they thought this was itzchalta d'geula, the beginning of the steps towards Geula. The lefida atam shehu itchalta de Geula, yish lasot yom tov kimo shebe Geula Rishona. Therefore, it is appropriate to create a holiday like we had in the Geula Rishona, like the Geula from Mitzrayim, where we celebrate the Geula with a holiday. So too here. They believe, they recognized, we might not have the Beis HaMikdash, but this is our step towards Geula. This was not just about winning over Haman. This had nothing to do with Ahasuerus and Paras u'Madai. Rather, this was, we are Jews who are focused on where we are and where we want to get to. We can't only focus, and this was their awakening, we can't only focus on what we don't have, that we are not yet back in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to focus on the fact that Hashem is still with us, and therefore this is Chalta de Geula. This is our step towards the Geula. So they established a day of celebration as this was the Chalta de Geula. The Sfas Emes comments here and says, Nir'ek kinis de Purim haya hachana l'bayesheni. The holiday of Purim was preparation for Bayis Sheni, the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ki haya tzarich liyo koach ve'uz l'Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had to have a certain strength to move towards Bayis Sheni. Val yidei ha'nes nigba libam. Because of this nes, their hearts were reinforced. V'yimalu lachzor l'Beis HaMikdash. And they had a newfound energy to return to the Beis HaMikdash. Like Mordechai is saying, drown out everything else and recognize that what's important, what happened here. Hashem is still with us. We can move towards the Beis HaMikdash. And this was the boost they needed. The Purim was the impetus to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And we daven, we hope that there should be a miracle like this also before the ultimate Geula. And this is where the Zionist in us begins to say that the establishment of the State of Israel is our nes that moves us toward Itchalta de Geula. Kimo shekatzav Chazal ma'amir aleihem melech kehaman. That when we see the enemies from all around us get up and try to destroy us, we then daven for a nes, for a miracle that should show us that we are on the path to Geula. Now, the Sfas Emes is saying that this was the integral step, that without the miracle of Purim, we could not have moved towards the Geula and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, Rav Shachter states in his Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon that it is usher from Baal Tosef to create a new holiday in our times, that it would have been usher to create Purim if it wasn't focused on the Geula. Then he says, Shaharei zohi ha-tachlit shel kol bria ha-kula. The entire purpose of the entire bria of all of creation, shetiyelo yisparach dira b'tachtonim, is that Hashem should have a dwelling place in the lower world. V'beis ha-migdash hu shemitkayem et ha-tachlit hazos. In the Beis HaMikdash is where this goal is fulfilled. The Ramban tells us in Parshas Naso that there is a mitzvah always to celebrate that the Beis HaMikdash was built and will be rebuilt. That we constantly have to be celebrating and moving towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it is entirely appropriate to celebrate on Purim. That if it was not focused completely and totally on the Beis HaMikdash, it would not have been appropriate to create the holiday. So to just tie this idea back to all the ideas that we had in the beginning, that there are the direct allusions to the Galus, that Mordechai was someone who was taken out with the Galus, that there are the leaning of multiple psukim in the trope of Eicha to allude to that prior to the story of Purim, we were in a period of Galus. But then once we arrive at the end of the Sefer, we are moving towards Geula, and that the entire purpose of Purim is for us to focus on the movement from Galus to Geula, that we are on that road. We are on Ischalsa to Geula. And the direct connections, the language from the Beis HaMikdash to the language of Purim, is to show us, please connect the two, recognize that the entire holiday of Purim is about celebrating Geula. That we think of Pesach as the Geula holiday, we definitely don't think of Purim. Purim, we think about as a self-contained story. But to recognize that the focus of the entire story was on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So to conclude, to recap, our three ideas. The first two ideas were focused on the connection between the Ketunas Pasim and Purim. The first, that the Ketunas Pasim represented that Hashem was with us, that Hashem always wants us to return to him, and that when Ahasuerus wore the big day kahuna at the Mishnah, he gave Bnei Yisrael this message, that Hashem was still there with them, and that they could return to Hashem. The second approach was that the big day kahuna teach us about the two-part nature of everything in the world, that there is the behind the scenes that we don't see, and there is the surface level that we are able to to see easily. And sometimes we need to remember to move aside the surface level to recognize what is happening underneath. And lastly, was the idea based on the idea that Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Besochem, that Hashem wants us to create a Beis HaMikdash so he can dwell among us, is that the entire story of Purim is reminding us of this fact, that Hashem can still be with us even if we are not in the Beis HaMikdash. So when we are able to win, when Hashem helps us to defeat our enemies in the story of Purim, this was the first step in the Geula, and the entire story of Purim is a celebration of moving towards Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So Amir Tashem this year, as we are reading the Parshios of building the Mishkan, and we are preparing for the holiday of Purim, may we recognize that they are one and the same. That in preparing for Purim and getting into the Purim mindset, we are reminding ourselves that Hashem is still with us, and therefore we are on the road to Geula. And this should give us hope, and this should give us the impetus to move forward, to dive in, to do our actions, to move towards the ultimate, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Binyan Beis HaMikdash.